Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we talked about an announcement that came out from church headquarters in Salt Lake City. It came out on October 27, 2018, basically saying that the church was planning on canceling some of these outdoor pageants that they have put on for years. And I admit that a lot of the information seemed a little cloudy at first, and there seemed to be some contradictions. And I don't know, Eric, if the dust has really settled on all this. But naturally, we were concerned when we found out that this would affect the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah, where we go every year to share the gospel with LDS people out on the streets.
I'm going to say, with the press announcement that we read in yesterday's show, it seems like there is a lot of uncertainty, as you just said. And it's strange to me that all of the changes that we've been seeing in these past few months, it doesn't seem like a whole lot of thought has gone into it. I mean, why wouldn't you already have the course of action of what you're actually going to do with the different pageants? They've left it up in the air. They have made it sound like Manti is going to have one more year, but they think they're going to take the Palmyra pageant and let it go through 2020.
And then it's going to come to an end, and it's been going on for decades.
Right.
I've been to the Hill Cumorah pageant. That's quite a production. A lot of pyrotechnics was involved and everything. I can't recall how many people were there during the time I was there, but I hear that the numbers, though, were really quite small when you compare it to the Mormon Miracle Pageant. Only around 25,000 show up to the pageant at the Hill Cumorah. If you're putting a lot of money into these productions and you're only seeing so many people show up, when you figure out dollar per person, that starts to, I would think, help you make your decision on what you're going to do with these. But when you have the Mormon Miracle Pageant, and they say there's about 80,000 that still are coming out over a two-week period, even though, as we mentioned yesterday, there's been a 40% decrease in attendance over the past 15 years, it makes you wonder, is this really cost-effective for the Mormon Church?
Well, when you were interviewed by a guy named Doug Barton, who has leadership roles at Manti in the Mormon Miracle Pageant, he accused people like us who are scaring people away from coming because we're outside on the streets trying to share the truth of what we believe the heirs of Mormonism are. And in fact, just a couple of years ago, the LDS Church bought a street seemingly to keep people like us off of the street.
And that's a good point. Why would they not have the foresight, since they're led by a prophet, to know that buying that street probably wouldn't even be necessary in a few years?
They paid $120,000. That money was supposed to go to buying youth fields, and according to sources that we have in Manti, those fields are not finished and they're full of weeds. So it's interesting to note that this grand project that they were going to get all this money for a street that they really probably didn't need, since they're probably going to close Manti after 2019. But that's my point again, Bill. This official statement on the MormonNewsroom.org, it's full of uncertainty. It doesn't seem like they really are thinking things through, rather than saying, okay, let's come up with a full plan and give it out before we make this announcement.
And I think our listeners should be able to judge what they think about this statement, because I find the statement being kind of disjointed and really not even making a whole lot of sense. Why don't you read that statement that was put on the official site, MormonNewsroom.org?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is growing across the earth. As this occurs, local church leaders and members are encouraged to focus on gospel learning in their homes and to participate in Sabbath worship and the church's supporting programs for children, youth, individuals, and families. The goal of every activity in the church should be to increase faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to share His gospel message throughout the world. Local celebrations of culture and history may be appropriate. Larger productions, such as pageants, are discouraged. As it relates to existing pageants, conversations with local church and community leaders are underway to appropriately end, modify, or continue these productions.
I think your assessment is absolutely correct. It seems like there's still a lot of things up in the air, and they don't really have a firm direction in which they are going to go. Although, from what we hear from KSL.com, it sounds like the Mormon Miracle Pageant will be coming to an end after 2019, June of 2019. And if anything else goes on after that, it is going to be a more downscaled production, what they call a locally sponsored celebration. But as we mentioned yesterday, wouldn't even a locally sponsored celebration take time away from your family in order to prepare for this locally sponsored celebration? Wouldn't you have to go to rehearsals and have production people that are going to be away from their family? So it seems like this statement is disjointed. It doesn't seem to be consistent, is what I'm saying.
And the question is, what celebration should the people in Manti be having? If they put this on the side of the Temple Hill, it's going to be compared with the bigger production that used to take place, but there's not like a holiday that they're actually celebrating with the Mormon Miracle Pageant. There's nothing that I would say this is a reason for a celebration. They should just get together and celebrate? What?
Well, a lot of people might be wondering, is this really the brainchild of their new leader, Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And then there was an article that came out on Thursday, November 1st, 2018, which makes us wonder that maybe this change might just be this idea that has been generated from the new leader of the church.
It was titled, LDS Church Leader Thrives on Change, His Wife Says. If older people resist change, then President Russell M. Nelson, even at age 94, isn't old. After all, the leader of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been shaking things up virtually since he took the face helm in January. In fact, says the person closest to him, he thrives on change.
This is the second wife of Russell M. Nelson. He was married previously. His first wife passed away, and he is now sealed for time and eternity to Wendy Nelson. So in the context of Mormonism, you can rightfully conclude that Russell M. Nelson hopes to be married to his first wife who passed away, and also he plans on being married to Wendy Nelson throughout eternity. So here's what we have. We have a case of what they call here as celestial or eternal polygamy. Just to give you a little bit of background of who Wendy Nelson is, who is making the statements that Eric is going to read right now.
And so she's quoted from this video interview that lasted for 5 minutes that was put on the newsroom website, and she said, I have seen him changing in the last 10 months. It is as though he's been unleashed. He's free to finally do what he came to earth to do. He's free to follow through with things he's been concerned about but could never do. Now that he's president of the church, he can do those things.
Do you know what she just did? She just gave credence to the theory that Russell M. Nelson has been pent up for all these years as being a lower level apostle. And I only say lower level because it's lower than the first presidency, who makes really all the big, huge corporate decisions. Does it not give you the impression he was sitting there chomping at the bit, waiting for the day when he could get in charge and be able to accomplish all those frustrations that he had to witness all those many years that he was an apostle in the church? It makes you wonder, did he sit there in all those board meetings thinking, I wouldn't do it that way. That's not what I would do. I would certainly do it differently. The impression that you get from a lot of Latter-day Saints is that their leadership seems to be all on the same page. But what she's saying here makes me wonder if that's really true at all, at least in the case of Russell M. Nelson, who we know back in 1990, who started emphasizing this whole idea of not calling the church the Mormon church, but calling it by its proper name. And now that he's president, he's gone even further than that. And we've talked about this to where now it's to the point where you can't even refer to a Latter-day Saint as a Mormon. You can't talk about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as the LDS Church or the Mormon Church. This must have been something that he was wanting to do for an awful long time. And as we pointed out in our series on this name change, it seems like Monson and Hinckley, who preceded Nelson, were not in total agreement with what Nelson wanted. And so for her to say, it's as though he's been unleashed. Remember the phrase I used in that series? I said, does Nelson now have what's called the bully pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a bully pulpit is.
Yep.
I have the power to do what I want, and you better do what I say. And in the Mormon context, that's exactly what you do with the leader of the church. He is the top authority. Nobody speaks higher than Nelson does right now in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Notice what she says, Bill. He thrives on change. And yes, he's made a number of changes. Everything from saying he had an impression given to him about the name of the church not being called Mormon LDS or Mormonism. The priesthood quorums have been shuffled. They've shortened Sunday services. They've replaced home and visiting teaching. I mean, we're talking about a short period of time. This is a man that thrives on change, and yet how many people are being affected by the decisions that he's making? And I go back to the pageant. I mean, how many people in Manti, the people who are business owners there, are going to suffer because this man likes to change things around? He likes to just go ahead and see things shuffled around, and he seems to be happy, but it's going to be a loss of revenue for a lot of people, and it's going to affect their lives greatly.
Now, a Mormon, just to play the devil's advocate here, would say, well, yeah, but his thoughts should not be so much on the locals that are going to be hurt by this decision to not have the pageant there any longer as it was. His concern should be the church, the church. And I think that's exactly where Russell M. Nelson is. He's only looking at the church being furthered. So whoever gets hurt along the way, that's collateral damage. You know, I'm sure to Russell M. Nelson, that's not a big deal. But when Wendy Nelson says he's not afraid to do something different, it almost makes you wonder, is it a knee-jerk reaction? Because obviously a lot of people had criticisms about this issue of not using the word Mormon, because it seems like a 94-year-old man doesn't seem to understand how computers work and how the World Wide Web works and what keywords are all about and word searches, because he certainly seems to be trying to take away a brand for the church that has worked very well for them in years past.
If this is what God intended, though, Bill, why did it take him to become president to make the changes that God must have wanted? As an apostle, was he raising his hand and trying to get these things passed, saying this is what God wanted? No, I think he waited, calculated, and figured, well, when I become president, things are going to be different.
Well, a statement made by Wendy Nelson, which I think is very telling. If we're really preparing the church and the world for the second coming of the Savior, he is sincere about that. Now, that's the kind of talk we have not heard in a lot of years when it comes to the LDS Church. There's not been a lot of talk about the imminent return of Christ, but now we're starting to hear more about it.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Looking for strategies that will help you engage in meaningful conversations with members of the Mormon Church? Well, if so, take a look at Sharing the Good News with Mormons, a new book produced by Harvest House Publishers and edited by Mormonism Research Ministries' Eric Johnson and Sean McDowell. Sharing the Good News with Mormons includes 24 helpful essays from 24 Christian apologists, scholars, and pastors. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or order directly from mrm.org.